up to Perukhov Ches. We are up to Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk Yud Beis, simple Pasuk, Baloi Tzadikim Rabba Tifares, when Tzadikim are in a state of Simcha. Aloitz is great joy. Great joy, then Rabba Tifares. There is an abundance of splendor. But Vukum Rishayim, but the opposite is true. Vukum Rishayim, when the Rishayim, they rise to power, Yichupas Adam, man has to go into hiding. Or or there are different translations, but the Metzudas really more precisely says he is being sought after. Man is being attacked. Man is under attack. He is put under investigation. An unlawful investigation by the corrupt government or the evil people who are in power. Let's look at the Metzudos David, Pasuk Yud Beis. Ba'aloitz, ba'al be'es yismuchu ha-tzadikim. When tzadikim are in a state of joy, al ki gola hatzlochasam, due to the success, to their success, v'chol davar nasa al pihem, and everything that is happening in the country, in the world, is happening at the command, under the control, the authority of the tzadikim, oz then rabo teferes samokim. Then there is an abundance of teferes. There is splendor in the makom, ki lo yishma ba kol noigesh, because there is no corruption. When the tzaddikim are in control, there is no corruption. Uma koshois, and there is no extortion. There is no noigesh uma koshois. Two words which really mean the same thing. There is no extortion. There is no harassment. Avol be'es asher be'es yikum rishom l'mumshal ba. But when the rishom, when they rise to power, oz yichupash adam. What does that mean? The man is being sought after. Yichupash means to seek, like we have coming up Thursday night. Bedikas chametz. Bedikas chametz, we learn from the word chipus. Chipus means the Gemara Masechta in Besachim learns chipus, the different expressions of searching. Man is being searched. What does it mean man is being searched? Chipes v'loy mas, that's one of the psukim that is used to bring the source of searching, and with candlelight. The Rabbi wants to know, when you do this, so particularly you have to do with candlelight, not by daylight. Oz yichupas ha'adam ki harishayim ha'hem yichapsum la'ashayk ha'inam, to rob their wealth. So here it says that when the evil people are in control, they will use their power, their resources to spy, to steal, and it's exactly to do whatever they can do. When they have the evil people in power, they abuse their power. But when tzaddikim are in power, then there is teferes. There is splendor, a very powerful word, teferes, and no one has to worry about being taken advantage of. Rashi says, Yichupas Adam yischapes b'chol mine alilos. Man is being put under investigation. He is being searched with all different types of alilos, all different types of excuses and strategies and techniques are being used to extract information or to extract the steal property unlawfully. Okay, I don't have any midrash. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Gidim is a very popular pasuk. There's a lot of midrash on this pasuk. Nechase peshav lo yatzliach. A person who covers his sins will not be successful. Umoideh v'oizeb. On the other hand, a person who's omed, he confesses, he admits to his sins, v'oizeb, and he abandons his evil ways, Yerucham will find favor. Yerucham, people will have compassion upon him. This is so true today in America. You always see this on Rachman, when a person is... pleads guilty. In America, the most important thing they want is they want remorse. They want the perpetrator to confess, to express his remorse, to be willing to go to therapy. What?
How's the Epstein trial?
I don't know. I haven't seen my contact in a couple of days.
They pleaded right away.
They pleaded guilty, yeah?
Walmart.
The only... okay, I don't know. Not for now. I know some details about it, but not for now. But whatever, but this is a very important thing, a very powerful thing. You see, the pasuk says, "Umoidev v'oizev," a person that confesses his sins, v'oizev, he abandons his evil ways, yerucham, he will be the recipient of mercy. The human nature, people want to hear remorse, regret. There was even once a court case. I used to, a while ago, I used to be fascinated with airplane there was a certain show on, I don't even know, I used to watch it on YouTube before my YouTube was disabled. They used to have these little mini documentaries where they would investigate airplane crash investigations, and and there was one fascinating case where the family, most of these cases, they sue for money, for millions of dollars. Even now, it's a big, what's going to happen with German Wings? It's going to be...
$700 million?
Wow. Insurance, and they have insurance up to $1 billion, they claim. Okay, whatever the situation is, but many of these cases, people are suing for money. So there was a very famous case, I don't know the details, where the families... They didn't sue for money. They just sued the airline to confess. They wanted them to say that we made a mistake. It was our fault. We were not careful. And our negligence and our laziness, which led to the death of these people on this airplane. There's such a thing. People have this, and I think they must have raised a lot of money to pay all the fees and the law fees and whatever else is involved. People have this intense desire of people hearing from someone else that they have charata to confess. Yeah, they did confess. The maskana was they did confess. People have this incredible desire to hear from someone, the victim of a crime, more than anything else. He wants to hear the aggressor, the perpetrator, confess that he has done something wrong and express remorse. And that's what the pasuk says, "Umoideh v'oizev yirucham." Now let's first see the mitzudos David pasuk gimel mechaseh hamechachesh pesha, a person who denies his evil deeds. Loymar to say loyosisi meumara, I have not done anything wrong. He lo yatzliach will not be successful, will never succeed. Yatzliach is in the future tense. He will never succeed in the future. Umoidev yozev yucham, and pasuk says hamoideh shepasha. So we have to break up the words into the words parts. One confesses that he has done an aveira. Yozev yisrael, he abandons. He promises never to do such a sin again. Lo yivshaod yerucham me Hashem umavir pishav. According to the mitzudos, who will he receive mercy from? The Ribbono Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's also true for man as well. Human beings also are very much willing to forgive and forget if only the perpetrator will confess his sins. Let's see the Rashi, Pasuk Gimel, Moideh Yozev, Moideh Peshav, V'Oizam Mishuv Bom Oy, the person who confesses his sins and he abandons this Mahalik from ever returning and doing committing these Averis again, he will be Yerucham. Okay, now there are multiple Midrashim on this Pasuk. First idea that is expressed in all the Sfarim is we have a contradiction. The Gemara in Sech the Yoma on Daf Pevav takes note that this Pasuk Mechaseh Pesha'av is contradicted by Pasuk in Tehillim. In Tehillim and Mizmor Lamedes it says Ashrei Nisui Pesha Kisui Chata'a. Fortunate, praiseworthy is the person who covers his sin. Nisui is a word for covering. His sin has been covered. Kisui chata, his sin has been covered. So the Gemara Masechta Yoma says, how do we understand this pasuk when we contrast it with the pasuk in Mishlei that says Mechaseh pesha'ov lo yatzliach? We have a major contradiction. Is it a good thing to cover one sin, or is a person, should he expose, should he hide his sins? What is the proper approach? So the Gemara gives two very important answers for life: when a person should hide his sins and when a person should confess. A sin that is done in public, people know he's been caught, he's been already caught, there's evidence, there's smoke, where there's smoke there's fire, then we apply the pasuk in Mishlei, Mechaseh Pesha'av lo yatzliach, then you have to confess. Come out immediately. Once the accusations are flying and people suspect, and if you're going to deny it, it'll be even a greater chil Hashem, because ultimately it will come forth that the person did indeed do a crime. Then we apply the pasuk, don't hide your sins. Come forward, come clean, confess your sins. When we apply the principle of better keep your sins covered, when no one is asking, a person does an avera, and of course we're dealing with a situation where it's been Adam, that's the other answer the Gemara gives, really two second answer really is part of this answer, but basically there is no harm done to society. You didn't rob anyone, you didn't hurt, you didn't abuse another person. It's just between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or whatever the situation is. There is no nafkamin anymore lahalacha, and no one is coming and bothering you. So what are you coming to be a tzaddik and offer up information? Rabbi Yisai, I want to go. What? Exactly. Chil Hashem. Rabbi Yisai, I want to confess that. You know what I did? And it's not nogea. It's no. You didn't steal a penny from anyone. You didn't hurt anyone. It's just between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You want to confess?
Right shoe ahead of my left shoe.
It's a chilul Hashem. So there we apply the pasuk at Tehillim. It's better that the sin should be covered. No one should know about it. Don't be mechal l'shem shemayim. Okay. The second answer really is part of the first answer. One is a sin ben adam lachaveray versus sin ben adam lamokim. A sin ben adam lachaveray. It's nogea. Ben adam lachaveray. You have done a crime. You have stolen money. You have abused another person. Then you have no choice but to come forward and apply the pasuk in Mishlei of mechase fishav lo yatzlich. If you hide it, it's not going to be good. You have to confess because there is a victim. There is a person who needs to be paid. There has to be retribution. There has to be some type of a mechila. But when you're dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's where you apply the pasuk until the person has a right to conceal the sin. And obviously these two things go hand in hand. Generally, the only time the sin is hidden is generally that's not no one's making accusations unless it's important to know, is a sin that is ben adam la makom. So this is the first yisod in the Gemara Masechta Yoma, the contradiction. Now the next yisod, the Gemara then takes this pasuk and applies the first half and the second half to various people in Tanakh. The first example the Gemara gives is Adam Harishon, Mechase Fisha'ov Lo Yatzliach. Who are we referring to? Almi Nemar, this pasuk, Adam. Adam, if the Yetz Hadas. And Hashem, and Adam said, it's not my fault, it's the Isha. Nechas, I have nothing to do with this. Blame it on the wife. She gave it to me, she's the one. She is Nechas, Sash. Pasuk said that Adam lo yatzlich, he will never succeed. Men will never succeed in this world. They're always cursed because men have all come from Adam, who are Mechase Fishav. Umode the Oizev Yerucham. Who do we apply that part of the pasuk to? That applies to Cain. Cain killed Hevel, but Cain did Shuvah. Cain, God loved him in his soul, and therefore, because Umode, Cain confessed to the sin, even though it didn't happen right away. But he ultimately did confess, Oizev, and somehow we apply that pasuk to him as well. Yerucham, that is why Hashem showed upon Cain compassion. He was not condemned to die. And Hashem put an ois upon him, a letter. Hashem etched a letter onto his forehead, whatever that means. And all the animals were not allowed to kill him. Okay, that's one chazal. Before we go further, I just want to take a step back. The other chazal, that we apply this to the Marishim, Chase, Pishav, Lo Yatzliach. The Gemara actually applies this to the end of the pasuk. Isha Asher Nasati Imadi. The Isha Asher Nasati, she gave me teeth. Adam denied that he sinned. And Hashem's response was, I'm now going to drive Adam out of Gan Eden, the Atar now. Pen Yishlach Yodo. Maybe he will extend his sin, and he'll live forever. So therefore, he has no choice but to leave Gan Eden. There, the Gemara darshins v'ata. The word v'ata is a code for tshuva. How do we know it's a code for tshuva? V'ata mo Hashem Elokecha shel meimachim liyira oiso, to fear Hashem. So, being that the expression of yira shemayim begins with ata, the word ata is a code. Pen means not. Pen means pen. You have the Torah says pen.
Pen is when you don't want it to happen.
Pen yifte levavchem. It should not happen. So the Medrash says, V'ata pen. Hashem's response was, I know that Adam will never do tshuva. Adam says, Mechase. Adam says, So Isha Asher Nasata Imadi. She gave meat to eat. Adam denied that he had done anything wrong. Hashem said, once Adam has already become accustomed to this derech of denial, I know the atopen, that for the rest of history, man is doomed. Man will always be in a matzev, in a madreg of ata, meaning tshuva, pen, he will refuse to do. Pen means not. He will refuse to do tshuva, he'll refuse to tshuva for his averos, and if we got a very serious problem, and that requires me to expel Adam from the eights, from Gan Eden. Now this medrash says something very fascinating. Read the deeper message of this medrash is that Adam Harishon, the ultimate goodness that he was denied, was being driven out of Gan Eden. It appears that Hashem may have allowed Adam to live in Gan Eden even after he did the chait of the Eitz Hadas. An amazing idea. Adam eats from the Eitz Hadas. Hashem says to him, what did you do, Adam? How dare you eat from the Eitz Hadas? So if Adam, this I'm trying to extract from this medrash. If Adam would have said, Ribbono shel Olam, Chatasi, I made a mistake. Like David, Chatasi, I made a mistake, I won't do it again. So Hashem would say, okay, there are consequences. You ate. No sin, no good deed goes unpunished. You know, no sin goes unpunished. So I'm going to have to punish you. You're going to die. But listen, while you're alive, you might as well enjoy the park. You might as well enjoy Gan Eden. That's what it implies. But being that Adam said, Hashem, I did nothing wrong. So Hashem, oh, you did nothing wrong. You don't want to do tshuva? So there's going to be a double punishment. Number one, you're going to die. That I have no choice. Number two, you're going to have to leave Gan Eden also. I don't trust you. If I would trust you, there would be some trust. You would express remorse, chotosi, ayavin from the Gan Eden, from the Eitz Hadas. Okay, you made a mistake. You can live in Gan Eden. Just don't eat from the Eitz HaChayim. Don't eat from that tree. But you can remain in Gan Eden. Now, can you imagine what it's like to live in Gan Eden? Obviously, there's a lot to be gained. There's a lot to be gained from living in Gan Eden. But because you don't want to do tshuva v'ata pen, I have to tell you to leave. You have to leave, and you have to live in the regular world, not in Gan Eden. So it's an amazing. Like we only when we studied the story of Maaseh Bereishis, so we only think about he did an avera, he was punished, and the story is over. No, the story is not over. Had Adam did an avera, he should have done tshuva. The tshuva might not necessarily have brought him back chias hanesim, but would at least have allowed mankind to live a different type of life, a life of Gan Eden in this world. But because he refused to acknowledge the chait, Hashem said, well, that was the chait. The chait was that he's also responsible. That's part of the chait. The atah pen, yishlach yodeh v'logach me'etz hachayim, and therefore you have to leave Gan Eden. It's a very powerful idea, which I think this marriage is telling us something fascinating, which is some simple level, the average person is not aware of such a idea of what kind of world we could have lived in had we only confessed. And the Musar Haskell is, it's easier said than done, is, and we see this all the time in the news, is that people are caught. So what's the scandal? The scandal is not the sin, it's the cover-up. Nice and b'chol yom, it's always the cover-up that does everyone. Right, what would have happened with Nixon? Had Nixon confessed right away, yeah, that's right, they broke in. I said, what would have happened?
No more again.
Why, so would he have been allowed to remain as president? I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe not. But he wouldn't have gone down in history, that's for sure, as such a scoundrel.
What? Oh, everything else.
No, 2 years.
Everything else involved after that.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's just one example. Talk about Clinton. You can talk about it. The list goes on and on and on and on. There's no end. And it's always the cover-up. And Adam Harishon is the first one that had a cover-up. Adam Rishon was the first one. It's not me. I did not there. It's not me.
Cover up.
He invented the cover. That says mechase fishov. That's what it says. Mechase the cover up. Mechase fishov lo yatzliach. Don't try to cover up a sin. Rather, umoydev oizev yerucham. And this is a very powerful medrash. Okay, now let's go to another. Here's another medrash that is just the opposite. Right? I told you before there was another one medrash that says mechase fishov lo yatzliach. Refers to who? It refers to Adam. Adam was the one who refused, who lo yatzliach, Umoidev Oizev Yerucham refers to Kayin. The Medrash says just the opposite. In different Medrash, Mechase Feshav Lo Yatzliach is Kayin. Because Kayin is the one who originally denied accountability. When Hashem said to Kayin, where's your brother Hevel? He says, are you asking me? What are you? He was the one who denied. So he was the one, Chasef Shavlo Yatzliach. And who was the one?
Denied, he killed him.
What?
Denied, you know.
He denied everything. Well, he denied everything. Where is he? I mean, he pretty much was in full denial. And who was the one that said, Vayetze Kayin, and who is the one? And who is the one who motive Ozev Yerucham? Who is the one that confessed? This is Yehuda. So it's a whole different medrash. This medrash is just the opposite. We're contrasting Kayin with Yehuda, the first major person in Tanakh, according to this medrash, that confessed the sins was Yehuda. Yehuda confessed that Tzadka Mimeni, that she is pregnant from me. He saved three people, Tamar and the twins Zerach and Peretz. And therefore, we contrast Mechasef Fishav Lo Yatzliach is Kayin. He was not successful. He was a wanderer. Nova Nod Baretz. He had to wander. Hashem allowed him to live by putting a mark on his head, but he had to wander. Yehuda confessed Tzadka Mimeni. Yehuda was restored to his position of greatness after he confessed. In fact, he taught greatness to the world. There's another interesting message. The message says that the Yehuda really did this twice. He confessed, he saved Tamar and the two children, and he also saved Yehuda. And also Yosef. Yehuda was the one that said, "Don't, let's not spill blood." To cover, if it's very well to the pasuk, mechasef fisha'av lo yatzliach. I guess that's what the deep meaning of the medrash, that of to cover up his blood, and therefore the medrash says we once learned this, we learned Daniel. Remember that long ago we learned Daniel, where there were four people that were descendants of Yehuda that were miraculously saved. Daniel was saved from the Goyev HaArayos, and Hanania Mishal Vazariah from Kivshan Oesh. The Medrash says, why would these four people merit to survive in a miraculous way? In the merit of their ancestor Yehuda, who saved four people: Tamar, the twins, and Yosef. Mida Keneged Mida, his descendants. Oh, that's another medrash. Right, that's another. We're coming out of one moment. Okay, but at least he confessed immediately. He confessed. Okay, that's another medrash. Okay, but it's one thing at a time. So here we have this other medrash. We're contrasting over here, contrasting a Kayin with Yehuda. Okay, another medrash, as Rabbi Mayevsky mentioned, is the contrast of Shaul and David. When Shmuel said to Shaul that you have sinned, he denied it. At least originally he said he
basically said, did I do something wrong?
He was in denial. He was in denial of what he
many on the arm that
forced him to shach the carbon. There were multiple sins. Number one, the first sin was he did not wait for Shmuel to come to bring the carbon. He was told by Shmuel, you may not offer the carbon to Hashem until I arrive. And the people were getting impatient. They were impatient. They wanted him to get the show on the road, and he caved in to the demands of the Am. That was a sign of failure. A leader has to be stronger than the people and overcome them. And he failed in this manner. And Shmuel said to him, you made a very grave error. And it almost, at that point, cost him his malchus. The second error that really cost him the malchus was when he failed to kill, to exterminate the animals of Amalek. The animals, and was the women also? Or
Agag.
He didn't kill Agag and animals. That also. I got the message on Thursday. All the Sfarim should go upstairs into the...
Your books. I mean,
into the base medrash.
In the back base of Medrash for the time being, or on any shelf in the back, you know, up
okay.
The back of, you know, would you be looking
okay.
There from now on?
Okay, so after Pesach, I'll go back upstairs.
Right.
Okay.
Good.
people going back.
Did they at least build in a speaker system when they did it?
Yeah, when you want to pay for it, we'll build it up.
Huh?
You want to pay for it, we'll build it up. There's a speaker system actually down here, but it doesn't
work. What's the way it's on?
Okay, so this is
put your name on.
Shaul refused to confess. David, after Nosson Hanavi said to David, what are you taking, Bathsheba? Immediately David said Chotosi. So that is the contrast between these. So David did not lose Malchus. David sinned, and David said Chotosi, his Malchus remained. Shaul sinned, he refused to acknowledge his sin, and that's why he lost his Malchus. So that's what it says, Mechasef Shaul lo yatzliach. Shaul, he tried to cover up his sins and deny his sins, lo yatzliach, he did not succeed as being a king. But Moedev Yosef Yerucham is David, he's the Chotosi, so he was allowed to retain his Malchus immediately. Okay, that pretty much covers it. Let's go now to the next pasuk. Okay, next pasuk is pasuk Yudalit. Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid Umakshalibo Yipol Bira. Praiseworthy, fortunate is a person who is always afraid. He walks around with his head down. He's terrified that a bolt of lightning is going to come out of the sky and turn him into dust. Okay, that's not what it means, of course. We'll see that in a moment. But Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid Umak Shelibo, a stubborn heart, Yipol Bera, will fall in evil. Let's first see the Mitzvot Pasuk Yudalid Mefachei Tamid Me'adover HaMafchid V'Nishmar Mimenu. Fortunate is the person that is always afraid of things that it's worthy to be afraid of. Umaksha Hamchazek levavai, umaksha, a person is stubborn. Below yechas midover hamafrid, he's not afraid. He's not terrified from things that he should be afraid of. Below nishmar mimenu, hinei hu yipol behara hahi, he will stumble in that evil. He will indeed stumble. Rashi, pasuk yedalid, mefachei tamid, doyek meoinish, he's afraid of punishment. Ubekach misrachek mehavera, he distances himself from avera. Now this pasuk is the topic of a discussion of Masechta Brachos. The Gemara Brachos poses a contradiction. Here it says clearly it's a good thing to always be afraid. But on the other hand, we have a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, Pochadu v'tzion chato'im. In Tzion, the sinners were afraid. When a person does an avera, his mazel, his neshama, is in a state of pachad, and he can't control, he's unable to control this inner fear that bothers him. So if a person is afraid, that is an indication that he is a choite. So obviously it's not a good thing to be constantly afraid. In fact, the Gemara illustrates this idea with a story. What was the story? The Gemara...
Malden touches on that. He said there's a difference, poiched and mefached.
Okay, let's just do the Gemara, and then we'll come to the Malm. You'll mention the Malm in a moment. Let's just first do the Gemara. The Gemara is a story. Hahu Talmida de Havika Azal Basrei de Rabbi Yishmol de Rabbi Yosi Beshuka. There was a Talmud that was following Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosi in the street, the Tzion. Chazei de Ka Mafrid. Rabbi Yosi saw that this student was afraid. Amalei, you're afraid. This is an indication that you're a chayte. Who knows what you did? Who knows what avera you have done? Chato'at. You are a sinner. You're a sinner. You know why you're a sinner? The chsiv it says, Pochadu v'tzion chato'im. So the student said, what do you mean? I just went to the morning kollel and we learned, Ashrei Adam v'fachei tamid. It's a good thing to be afraid. V'yachsiv Ashrei Adam v'fachei tamid. Amalei. So here is the answer number one is, Ahu b'divrei Torah chsiv. This pasuk is discussing, you're afraid you will forget what you have learned. That is Ashrei. Fortunate is a Talmud Chacham who is always afraid he'll forget his learning, and that stimulates him to review continuously everything that he learned. That's about the pasuk that talks about that a person that is afraid is a chayte. That's referring to other types of fear. He has indeed sinned, and the sin touches his neshama and causes him to live in a state of fear. Okay, the Gemara gives another example, a similar story with another pasuk in Iyov. The story there was Rabbi Yehuda bar Nosson having shakel v'azdo basrei Rav Hamnuna. This individual, whose name was Yehuda bar Nosson, he was walking behind Rav Hamnuna, and he was moaning and groaning. He was afraid. So Rav Hamnuna said to him, "It must be Yisurim boy ahu gavro la'atui anavshei. If you live in a state of fear, you're going to bring upon yourself punishment." What's the pasuk? Pasuk in Iyov, "Ki fachad pochadeti vayesoyeni." Iyov said, "I was terrified, and the thing that I was terrified about came upon me. I was yagorti. I was in a state of fear, and what I was afraid came upon me." A person that lives in a state of fear is inviting upon himself suffering. So, what are you doing, Meshugana? Why are you in a state of fear? So. And the student said to the Rebbe, but doesn't say in the Pasuk in Mishlei, Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid. So he gave him exactly the same answer. The answer is that this Pasuk refers specifically to being afraid of forgetting what you have studied. Divrei Torah, Ahu B'Divrei Torah Ksif. Okay, now what did you want to say from the Malbum? The Malbum says it in the end.
It says this. There's someone who is a poiched.
Yeah, poiched.
Poiched means he's afraid.
Okay.
All the time means he's a balavera.
Okay, and a mafached.
Mafached is someone who is afraid for the future, and therefore
not now.
He avoids being aggravation.
It's not current. The fear is not. You're afraid of being afraid. You're afraid that you should not come to be a poiched.
Yeah.
So you're a shman. Beautiful. Okay. Very good. That's what he really, what he's saying is having possibly that there's a difference between yira and pachat. Yira, there's yira, we never find an expression of being a poichet Hashem. The expression used is yira shamayim. So yira obviously has a connotation of a healthy form of fear. Pachat is a more intense.
He's always terrorized.
Terrorized. Mm-hmm. That is an unhealthy type of fear, which you don't want. And but even in this unhealthy form, there is a healthy example of forgetting what you're going to learn. Forget there, it is advisable for a person to always shape up, so he should mechazik himself not to forget his learning. Okay, like he said, also he should be afraid to be afraid. You have the pachad Yitzchak. The pachad Yitzchak. So Yaakov Avinu, he swore in the pachad Yitzchak Aviv. So what does that mean? What does it mean that he swore?
That's because Yitzchak was still alive. That was by Lavan at the end.
Yeah. When he made the shvua.
Pachad Yitzchak Hayolik Yatori Kam Shilachtoni is. So that's what the pasuk is talking about. The Yitzchak was still alive. So he said, it doesn't say Elokei, it says Elokei Avram.
You know, Hashem does not put His name upon people who are alive. Hashem only puts His name upon people who are no longer living, and so therefore we have the Pachad of Yitzchak. Okay, that's a very interesting expression. What does it mean exactly, the Pachad Yitzchak? Why did Rav Chutner name his Svarim Pachad Yitzchak, besides the fact that his name is Yitzchak? But what does that come from? There's another sefer, there's a Kadmain, it's a dictionary called Pachad. It's quoted very often, that sefer.
It's what do you call it?
It's a encyclopedia. It's like an Oroch. Sefer Oroch, encyclopedia. It's a different type of sefer. It's from a Kadmon. You see that quoted very often. So they always apologize. The Pacha Yitzchak, not the Pacha Yitzchak, not from a foot, the Pacha Yitzchak. Pacha Yitzchak. The Kadmon. The real Pacha Yitzchak.
Simcha, found the Pacha Yitzchak, the original.
Yeah.
And he told one of the Talmidim, he says, "Oh, Baruch Hashem, I found the Pacha Yitzchak." Says, "I can get all the Pachad Yitzchaks you want." He says, "No, I'm talking about the one with longest."
Ooh. Ooh, okay. All right, mechasa. So this is the mefached tamid. Okay, makshi libo bal yibo, makshi libo yibo bara. Okay, now there's another gemara. I don't really know the depth of what this means. Just to throw it out, being that it's such a popular mechazal, kamso bar kamso. Everyone knows the story. Kamso bar kamso. The person invited, sent a messenger. Please invite Mr. Kamsa, and the agent by mistake invited Bar Kamsa, and that led to the whole Chagadia, where he wanted to throw him out, and he was embarrassed, and he ultimately went to be Malshin to the government that the Jews have rebuilt. So the Gemara interestingly says that whole story can be summarized in this pasuk. I don't know the depth. Let me read the short version here in this sefer. He has the short version, nice and sweet. A short version is Pasuk Yidalit. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, my dichsiv. What does it mean in the Pasuk? Ashrei Adam Mefache Tomid, Umaksha Libo Yipol Bira, Akamsa Ubar Kamsa Choruv Yerushalayim. That's how it starts. That famous Gemara in Masech the Gittin on Daf Nun Hey that you cannot miss. So that famous Gemara that you can't miss on Tisha B'Av, okay, if you have not heard that Gemara on Tisha B'Av, it means you must have slept with Tisha B'Av, begins with this pasuk that we have just learned. So, I mean, no one really delves into this. They delve into the story, but what does this story have to do with this pasuk? So the end of the pasuk is a little bit easier. He is stubborn. Umaksha libo yipol v'ra. The host should not have been so stubborn. Had the host said, okay, you want to pay for the whole suda? Okay, and most people, when it comes to money, you know, kesef yane sakol, I'll throw you out, I'll be mavazi. But when Bar Kamsa said, don't throw me out, I'll pay for the whole suda. First he said half the suda. I don't remember the Gemara. Yeah. Then did he say the whole suda?
I'll pay for my meal, half the suda.
First was half the suda.
I'll pay for my own meal, he said.
Right. My own meal. And then he said half the suda. Did he say the whole suda at the end? Yeah. Then the whole suda. The whole suda. So when it comes to money, that's quite a gift. So you would think, okay, for money, I'll look the other way, I'll be moichel you. No, he was yikshe liboy, the stubbornness, the hatred, and because of that, he was so angry, he went to be malshin to the government, the Jews have rebelled, it was a spark. Obviously, the situation was such, the chumrah didn't happen because of the story. All the mafarshim explained that, the story happened because of sinas chinam.
It's endemic of the situation, but that's why
it was the spark.
Kamsa and Bar Kamsa was a father and a son.
Bar Kamsa.
And that was really the crux of, you know, highlighting that a father and a son, there was so much hatred between them, they didn't get along either.
The father and the son didn't get along.
The son didn't get along. I mean, it was Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, and one had this reputation and one had this, and they didn't get along themselves.
It was an ugly situation. But the Chorban happened because of the Sinas Chinam. This was the spark. It was the spark. Hashem brought about this to be the spark to show the reason why the Mikdash will be the show was because of Sinas Chinam, and it's the Yiksha. So you have to learn the Gemara a little bit deeper. The Sinas Chinam is not just Sinah, it's the stubbornness. It's the unwillingness to budge. In other words, sometimes, I've heard Darshanim speak of this, sometimes it's legitimate to have Sinah. You know, you don't have to go and be let people step on you. There are people out there who are sloppy, nasty, and they do things that are not proper. You're allowed to have tainus.
That's why it says in the Pasuk, well, it's not so people do well.
That's
if you let it out.
Let out.
Well, to express it.
There's a way to deal with sinner. It's legit. You're allowed to have tainus, but you also have to know when enough is enough. When okay, I've let you. I've expressed my hatred to you, but okay, now it's time to make up, to kiss and make up. Now the time has come. That's the problem. It's not the sinner, and maybe that's what the Gemara here means. It's yiksha. It's the stubbornness. The sinner may be legitimate, but the yiksha that you're unwilling and at any cost to overlook the sinner. That is problematic.
This guy was on his deathbed, and he became the one with his neighbors. So his neighbors came and said, "No,
let's make up."
Let's make up. So he says, "Fine." But if I get better, everything goes back to normal.
It's like Yom Kippur. My Rebbe, and I remember you. Some sorts you don't forget. There was a shul with two people that are at each other's throats the whole year, a whole year, a whole year round. It's Erev Yom Kippur. They're saying Tefillah Zaka. So from one friend is sitting at one end, and he calls that right before they're being called, Moichel, and he goes Mochel. Moichel, and the other one says Mochel. Then they open up the Aron Kodesh, Kol Nidre. Then davening is over. Shema Yisrael. 24 hours later, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim. The second it's over, one from the other side is cursing out the other. business as usual.
A Shmigir and the daughter-in-law, Erev Yom Kippur. Moichel, yeah, Shmigir. After Yom Kippur, Zerik Tzimal.
What does that mean?
Back to
the old ways. Yeah. I actually saw two people joking with each other this year before it was Dayar Yom Kippur. It was like a few days before Yom Kippur, and the guy said to him, "You know, you did me a very big avla, and I don't, you know, going Yom Kippur, I don't want there to be any problems. So you know what? I'm meichel you now, believe Shalem. But I want to let you know," he said this, I think he was serious. "I want to let you know, I'm meichel you behind belief sholem, and you should go into Yom Kippur. I don't want to be, there should be any problem. It's not good for you, it's not good for me. But the second that Yom Kippur is over, you should know I'm going to think about what you did to me. I'm going to be full of rage, and it's going to be like it never happened. It's going to go business as usual." So right now I'm going to forget about it, but I'm going to force myself to think about the avla you did to me. We'll start all over again. All right, these are all very funny jokes, but you know, it's also a madrega. If you could even forgive someone for 10 minutes, it's oichen a madrega. You know, there are people out there that can't forgive you for 1 minute. You can forgive for 25. It's also a madrega. It's serious. Can you imagine two brothers talk to each other, who hate each other? They talk to each other. No, on this one day, Hanav and Yavin will talk to each other. It's also a madrega. All right, let's go further. So we have over here.
Talking about stubborn. He said, everyone says, why is the story of Shimshon in
Dachta? Right, you told me this, right.
Yeah. Also has to do with this.
The stubbornness that the mother refused to admit that it was her fault that she did not conceive.
Yeah.
She refused to confess. She was, okay, this star. Now, what about the beginning of the pasuk? What about the beginning? Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid. So that is a bit more difficult. That I have not really seen a clear explanation of what that has to do with the sort of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. The Gemara quotes the entire pasuk. Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid Umak Shalibol Yipol Bera. The end of the pasuk, we understand. Okay, it's much simpler. But what does the beginning of the pasuk have to do with the kamsa bar kamsa? So this is a bit of a difficulty. So I do vaguely remember hearing something. I don't know if it's, I'm just imagining this, is that since the Gemara here does say Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid is Bedivrei Torah. Right, we have the contradiction. It says that it's not a good thing to be angry. A person should always be besimcha. What's this mifachi tamid? When it comes to divrei Torah, to review what you have learned, that's what the pasuk is addressing. That would have been an antidote to the sinas chinam. Had the people of that generation been more nizar in bigger b'nei Torah, b'alei Torah, learning Torah, reviewing what you learn and learning softens a person's attitude towards his enemies. And that would not have allowed them to the hatred to overspill to the degree where they would have thrown out. The problem is that it doesn't always, you see today that the big about Talmud Chacham you are. it doesn't always work. So I don't know, but it's an idea, because the pasuk does say Mefachei Tamid, And we tie that into Kamsa Bar Kamsa, Mefachitam Divrei Torah. Had they been more Nizr in Divrei Torah, maybe they would not have had such great sinna. Torah has a koyach to soften a person's heart. Now, he does here in this Sefer, in the Itzer HaMidrashim, he seems to say that the connection between Mefachi Tamid is a Zeh Chacham Haroya Es HaNoilat. That this individual should have realized, the way he interprets the story, there's a lot of interpretation going on into the story, that Bar Kamsa was a very influential person in the government. He had an audience with the Kesar, that we see from the story. So, and obviously the situation at this point in time was a very delicate situation. The Jews were suffering very much. There was a siege, I don't know if there was a siege yet, but the political environment was not very pleasant. And Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid is an Indian. He learns, I'll actually quote someone, let me tell you exactly who he quotes. The Eitz Yosef. Okay, that's the one of the commentators on the Ein Yaakov. So he says, he quotes here, Lama Bekesa, he ties this into the idea, Shenoisein Libo Lidoig Veliros Es Hanoilot. Clearly learns that this Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid means pay attention to the consequences of your actions. You should be diligent of what's going to happen. And had they been more diligent, he would have realized that his behavior would lead to sorrows for Klal Yisrael. So that's another mahalach.
I forget who the Rav was there.
The Rabbanim were quiet. That's a different story.
Yeah.
That's a different story. That was...
That was the Halshana of Bar Kamsa. That's what happened.
Oh, so you want to learn that. You want to learn that. You want to learn that passing. Okay, there are many interpretations. You want to learn Zechariah ben Ev Koilos. He was the one that said that you're not allowed to be matal mum b'kodashim, and you're not allowed. People are going to say that you're allowed to be the doyos. All future generations are going to be matal mum b'kodashim, and then they said, let's kill him. If we're going to kill him, people are going to say that if you bring a mum, if you put why do they want to kill him? Why didn't they kill him? So what was a good idea?
What was the reason why didn't they kill him?
Because he said,
okay, so therefore he didn't. So some of you want to learn that the pasuk of it, he was too stubborn. He should have given it. He should have allowed to bring the karbon. So you want to learn the pasuk that doesn't explain the mefachei tamid. That's the asher of the mefachei tamid. That explains the second pasuk. He was stubborn. He was too stubborn in halacha. Sometimes in halacha you have to be a little bit more giving. You have to be mekel. Kulis. You have to. Everyone has to. What? What is the situation? Hayrasha. So this is another interpretation of what is the stubbornness. The stubbornness, and it explains the end of the pasuk, not the beginning of the pasuk. Okay, so Tuma Halchemy was too stubborn. Kamsa, the host, was too stubborn, or the Rabbanon, specifically Zechariah ben Ev Koilos, was too stubborn and not passing a lukuma. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. The next pasuk reads, Ari Noyheim V'Doiv Shekek Moshel Rasha Al Am Dol. Pasuk here simply would be referring to a lion, referring to a bear, and referring to a rasha. Three different categories of people. Three different categories. A Moshel Rasha, an evil Moshel, an evil ruler. Al Am Dol, upon a nation who is poor. Now what is a similar interpretation of the pasuk mean? Ari Kimo Sha'agas Ari, the roar of a lion. The Hadoif, and the roar of a lion. A shekek is the same term as a noihem. The noihem is a term used for lion, and shekek is a term used for a bear. The sound of the lion, mafchid es habriyos, Cain likewise, mafchid memshele soresha al amdal. According to al amdal, that the rulership of a rasha terrorizes a poor nation. Kidargoy lahazik tishushay akoyach. It is there to weaken, to damage those who are weak. Rashi says, "I read him who laham." I'm not sure what the word. I think laham means a roar. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it means. I think hu lohem. I don't think it means hu lohem. I think noyem means hu loyhem. It's in a roar of a lion. V'doiv shekek nihimo lari Ushkika l'doiv shneim l'shoin tsa'aka or war. Okay, that's the simple interpretation. The Medrash, very popular Medrash, that this pasuk refers to three individuals: Nebuchadnezzar, Achashverosh, and Haman. Okay, it's the top news, judge. Haman. Haman's in the news lately. Have you been reading the news? Riskind? Rabbi Stephen Riskind? What? Shocking, huh? It's the top news in Drudge, international news. It's the headline of Drudge news. The second, you know what that means? What? I know. I don't know why he did it.
Rabbi Lichtenstein came out first, I think.
What did Lichtenstein say?
He also came out about...
With such strong terms? The call of Alma Haman?
Such terms. So Riskind saw that...
He's a Talmud of...
It's shocking. It made international news. You know, the tragedy, the seven children, to the best of my knowledge, did not. I didn't see it. I never saw it. I always look in Drudge. You know what Drudge is? Drudge Report? Yeah. That's like the Shurish.
The media saying that his office was Iraq, right?
What? Drudge Report is the Shurish of all the news. I mean, that everything, whatever is there, that sets the tone for everything that filters down to all the newspapers. I didn't see the tragedy of the seven children on Drudge. Maybe it was there, maybe I missed it. I go there at least once a day, maybe five times a day. But I didn't see that. But this, that Riskind is called Obama Haman. It's the top. It's like all the way on the top. No, and this is international.
Riskind with everything is still a liberal.
A leftist.
And he's a the left.
Okay, and
it's
shocking that they would put this on in the headlines, the headline news. It's an incredible chiddush. But we have here this idea of three different nations: Nebuchadnezzar, Achashverosh, and Haman, who are trying to terrorize and abuse, subjugate an Am Dol. Who is the Am Dol? Klal Yisrael. And this marriage is a very fascinating marriage, because what it does is it gives us a whole different perspective in the Beis HaMikdash. What does the Nebuchadnezzar have to do with Achashverosh and Haman? Bishloim Achashverosh and Haman, we understand. Achashverosh and Haman, they were a team. Achashverosh wants to destroy Klal Yisrael, and Haman wants to destroy. They have different techniques. In fact, I saw a very interesting word on the Haggadah. The Gemara talks about Achashverosh is compared to a person who has a big mound, a big mountain. And Haman is compared to a person who has a big ditch. So the two meet each other, and they say, "Oh, perfect! You want to get rid of this mound? I want to get rid of my pit, my ditch, so we can have a partnership. We'll dump all the earth of your mound into my pit. Shalom al Yisrael, and then we'll be peace. There'll be the so the marshal is what is the Chazal telling us? And that's why Achashverosh said to Haman, Hakesef nosulach. I don't need your money. Adarabba, you're willing to get rid of Klal Yisrael? You're doing me a favor by getting rid of this eyesore. So what's one Chazal compare? Tell us that Achashverosh viewed Klal Yisrael as a mound, and Haman viewed as a pit. There are two ways you can destroy Klal Yisrael. Either you can elevate them. You can elevate them. By elevating them, that's like Hatzilena Miyad Ochi Miyad Esav. By bringing them close, then you desensitize them to their Kedusha, and then there is burying them, destroying them. Haman wanted to bury Klal Yisrael in a pit. Achashverosh wanted to elevate, to destroy Klal Yisrael through assimilation. By elevating them, giving them equal opportunity, you'll no longer be Shemesh Shabbos, it will generally wear off. And this is so that's why Achashverosh compared to a Har Gavoya, and Haman is to a Haman was the bar. Somehow they wanted to join forces and to the combination of their tactics to destroy Klal Yisrael. But what does Nebuchadnezzar have to do with this? Nebuchadnezzar was a king that wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael 70 years ago. So you learn from this message something very important. What you learn here is they're really all part of the same team. Nebuchadnezzar started the process. He destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. But there's always a danger that he'll come back. Haman and Achashverosh wanted to make sure to finish off the job, to take out the roots, to make sure that it would not be rebuilt. Every time a nation suffers, there's always a natural desire to rebuild. Study world history. A nation is has fallen, there will always be survivors that say, let's rebuild. And then along comes a second wave of Churban to prevent the resurgence of the Churban. The revival. So that's exactly what we have. That's why this pasuk and one pasuk we're putting together, we make no mistake about it. It's one team. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Bayis Rishon. Haman and Achashverosh made sure, did everything in their power to make sure that that Bayis, that Nebuchadnezzar, should remain the way it should be destroyed, should never be rebuilt. It's part of one process, one team. And that's what we see very clearly, and they're all being brought together here in one part. Because otherwise, you would never put the two together. There was a Nebuchadnezzar, that's one tzar. There's a Haman Achashverosh. No, they're part of the same team. That's what we have learned from here.
Why each one had his own faith when they were waiting for the 70, but
the 70 years. When it,
before they went, first Balshetza at 55, and then, you know,
to make sure there's not going to be any revival. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk Nutes Zain Nogid Chasar Tivunos V'Rav Ma'ashakois Sone Vetza. Well, you have it two words, or only one? It's a kivuk sif, right? Sone with a yud, sone vetsa. But one more time. Nogid chasar tuvunos v'rav ma'ashakos kamo. But sone vetsa yarich yomne. Let's read right away the translation for this pasuk. Nogid kasher yiyeh hanogid chasar tuvuno. When a prince is lacking understanding, then what is the result? The Rav Ma'ashakois, it results in abuse, in robbery. Kasher yeh hanogid chasar tvuna, yarbeh ma'ashakois, it leads to an abundance of corruption and oppression. But the second half of the pasuk begins, sonei im ki, however, im ki sonei habetza, a person that hates profit, a person that's not looking for profit, marich yamim, he has a long life. Kiaksilo yovin ezos, a fool does not understand this. So this is okay. It's a very difficult. Nagid chasar tivuno. Nagid chasar tivuno. Let's see the Rashi. Not really clear what this means. Let's see the Rashi. Chasar tivuno. Mitoch shuchu chasar tivuno. Hu rav mashakos. Being that this nagid lacks understanding, who rav ma'ashakos, he commits crimes. Ki einoi noisein leiv al chayov, he does not pay attention to his life. Umar belashrek, and he continues to commit crimes, to steal, to do corruption. Sharei hasoni betza yarich yomim. Now what do you mean sharei? I don't understand. I really, unfortunately, did not. Sharei hasoni betza yarich yomim. So what is it? This is contrast. Okay, I'm not really sure. You know what? So let's leave for tomorrow. Let me try to prepare more for tomorrow, and we'll leave it here with this. Okay, we'll leave with Pasuk Kazayin.